is no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast
on the left.
Side stories?
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
You know what I'm disappointed?
What?
In us about?
What did we do?
This weekend?
What did we fail at? I thought we killed Vegas.
We did nothing but crush. But, you know what we completely forgot to talk about?
What?
Paul Anka confirming the fact that Frank Sinatra has a big hog.
Oh, of course Frank Sinatra has a big hog.
But you know what also was crazy that I did not know that Paul Anka also confirmed? Joey Bishop had a vagina.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know Buck Angel?
Oh, it's interesting because the bishop is the chess piece likely to fuck.
With the slit in it.
Yeah, that's the penis.
It's got a cleft in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? It's got a little, just like what one would call the openings of a female, or a vagina.
But it looks like a penis head.
Yes, sure. In the many bishop. Ways. Truly androgynous in a
wow.
way.
Wow.
So Joey Bishop, that's what they cut it out of the interview. I guess because Paul Anka at that point was starting to drool out of the side of his face and mm-hmm. one drop of blood was coming out of his fake left eye because he did that to copy Sammy.
Yes.
And so when that starts to happen, they know Paul's got to go to sleep. All right, because obviously Paul Anka, he's been up. Because now
he put it in his documentary?
That Frank Sinatra has a big penis.
It's your documentary.
Yeah.
Don't talk about how big is the dick that you got to talk about it in your own documentary.
I think that Paul Anka might have a bit of a hanka for Frank Sinatra's
maybe he
penis.
Did a little yanka
I think
on that.
He might have. I think he must have, and he absolutely did.
Oh, look at him kissing him.
Again, the biggest revelation. Joey Bishop, trans icon. Nobody knew that before.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing to even think about, and I wish we could have seen it.
Yeah. Dean Martin, horrible flatulence problem. They used to call him Dean Fartin.
I know that. I heard that. And also, the alcoholism was exaggerated.
It was exaggerated, but he did die early.
He did, but hey, because that's what a real man does. Welcome to Side Stories.
Do you know Dean Martin once bought my mom 10 scotches?
What, just to
she was at
get her
Dean,
away from
she
him?
She was at a Dean Martin show.
Yeah.
And he's like, and she's like, he asked her what she was drinking because she was all hot and by herself.
Was she?
Yes. And then back then, yeah, oh my God, my mom was real hot. And then you got to see these old pictures. I got to send them to you. You're going to love them.
How hot are we talking?
I mean, she's pretty smoking hot.
What?
Yeah, oh no.
Your mother?
My mother was smoking hot. Yeah, and then the Polish said it.
Eventually that Babu does change, doesn't it? There's something about that. Where did Babu come from?
But yeah, he sent her 10 scotches one night.
Well, what a great
either
fucking
that or
story.
She was lying to me my whole life, which is very possible.
I love your
it
mother.
Is very, it is very possible she was lying to me.
I know she's lying to you.
She went to Vegas by herself. Yeah, no one else is there to witness the story.
I know she's lying.
She had to have been lying.
Yes. She met a man named, like, Saul Anka.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was somebody
else. She didn't say nothing about Anka.
I'm just saying. Oh, yeah. It was, yeah.
It was Dean Martin.
Yeah, Dean Mutton. Dean Mutton. Like, yeah, that, everyone loved that greasy guy from Cleveland.
I'd say my mom looked most like the chick on the bottom to the right.
That's really, you're giving your mom a lot of credit, but I'll see those pictures.
I'll send them to you.
All right, well, great. My name is Henry Zebrowski. I'm sitting here with Ed Larson. We just came back from the fucking best city on the face of the planet, Las
Not
Vegas.
Not true, but I did have fun.
It was the best. It is the only honest city in the union, Las Vegas, Nevada. What an amazing time we had. And we just wanted to just say straight up, we got literally 10 tickets left for our Portland shows.
Yes.
Go and buy those tickets at lastpodcastonleft.com. We have two. They will be then completely sold out, and we will finally mean something to our families.
Please. Oh, yeah, I'm actually very excited for Portland.
Yeah, it's a great city.
Yeah. It's
all my friends. I got a bunch of friends there. My friend Ellie's there.
You
she's getting a lecture.
Come to the show?
Oh, yeah.
I got
yeah.
people come to the show.
Portland's one of the best cities. Another actually really fun city.
I hope Can't we have enough comps left. Usually we don't sell out, and I'm like, yeah, sure, whoever wants to come.
No, not this time, Eddie.
Oh, wow.
This time we got almost no room.
Well, I hope so. I hope we'll be okay.
I hope so.
Either way. They could stand outside in the cold.
Couldn't give a fucking shit, Eddie. Couldn't give a fucking shit. No, it's not true. I love her family. I love her friends. All right, so we have a bit of an update. I actually got a very, first of all, love it when someone gives us credit, so thank you. Someone said that they actually appreciated our coverage of the Morgan Geyser story.
Thank God. I was really worried about it.
Same. Really very, very, very worried about that. But I got a very interesting
message. How many hate messages did we get?
Just a couple. Okay. But it's normal. The normal amount, it's just normal because we're still trying to figure out kind of where we're, like, we are, when you listen to Side Stories, I can't really stress enough. You're listening to two nearly mid-40s white men.
I am mid-40s.
You are now, officially.
Yeah.
And we're trying to learn and get involved and not be too scared of different things.
Yeah, but if a little girl stabs another little girl a bunch of times, we unfortunately have to talk about it.
No, that's not the problem. The problem, honestly, because people felt that you were almost too considerate of Morgan Geyser's feelings. A lot of people kind of agreed on the other side that Morgan Geyser, because one message I got was very interesting about the idea of kids learning to be, like, we say the words manipulative inside of these sort of social homes, but really it's adapting to having no power in a situation in which they're surrounded by authority figures. They're already troubled. They're going to naturally do certain things. Just what happens. Mm-hmm. But one thing I found that was interesting that I did not know, because we were saying, one thing that freaked us out about Morgan Geyser was that she was let into the halfway home out of the insane asylum, essentially, and still had visual delusions and spoke with Slenderman.
It's not good, especially in a halfway house.
It's no. But I did not actually understand that that is a part of the therapy. So they don't fight delusions. I got this from a mental health worker's guide, right? This is someone who works at, this is a bit of a clinical context to what's going on. And I thought this was really interesting, is that when people have audio and visual hallucinations as a part of a schizophrenia diagnosis, a part of what you're trying to do is create a grounding sensation within those delusions.
Okay.
So
not just trying to get the conversation to end.
Israel. I gotta get the lunch.
Yeah, okay. You and me both. Oh, I just talked to Genghis Khan this morning. He's great, right? All right, well, I'll see. I gotta go to soup's on. I don't get that while it's hot. I like that thick soup. I like that thick insane asylum soup. But what you do is you can't just say the delusions aren't real, because it makes them, like, kind of inversely dig in more, which is something.
It's like when someone's dating someone horrible and you tell them they are horrible and they just runs them into their arms.
I think that's a good simple way to put it. Or it's like when I have OCD, like in my OCD diagnosis, what they learned was that instead of self-soothing during moments of high anxiety, just feel the anxiety.
Well, how come you don't wash your hands if you're OCD?
Because I'm going to fucking punch you in the face. Fucking attack him. I do wash my hands, actually, until they bleed. But that's different. That's called being a traveling comedian. And so this is what they do. When you have photorealistic things, they create this thing. So reality testing. So they gently explore discrepancies between your visions and reality. They say stuff like, does that really make sense? Or like, oh, okay. Like, and they gently prod, right? Yeah. Then it's safety planning, ensuring the belief doesn't lead someone to act in a way that endangers themselves or others. So you can, as long as Slenderman's just hanging out and just being stuff like, being like, I actually think that a smashing machine was fine. You know what I mean? Like that's fine, right? Like, you can have a rational discussion about your critical response to smashing machine.
I think it was fine.
Yes. I think it was entirely fine, right? Then there's harm reduction, helping the client manage the delusion rather than eradicate it. Because that's the idea, too. It's harm reduction. Is that it's very difficult to get rid of full-on video and audio hallucinations, apparently. Even with medication, talk therapy, it's extremely difficult. So basically, you have to figure out a way to create it so that they can just kind of have them and move on and be able to talk about it. And then we call it functional stabilization, which is coping strategies, daily living skills, like all of that stuff. So I did not know that you can then, that's really what they're seeking. It's not total cure in order to be moved in one of these facilities. Also, the fact that when she got released for attempted murder at 23, that's very common. That's actually pretty much a boilerplate, like, age in which something like this happens.
That's what I was concerned about.
Yes, but they do, because it was an attempted murder, but now we're seeing that it was a bit too premature. But that so now we now know everyone's going to go right back into it. They say essentially this is a really interesting term. The presence of a delusion doesn't define risk. Behavior does. Mm. So it's all how you behave. You behave towards the delusion.
Do you think that, like, you know, in these kind of cases, like, obviously we're not going to do this, but, like, the best way to keep someone safe would be just, like, remove their fingers? Because then they wouldn't be able to stab anybody.
Sidestoryslpotl at gmail.com. Is that a good way to stop? Is that a good way to...
Someone stabs someone a bunch.
Can we decrease recidivism?
They're not going to stop. They're not going to stop stabbing people.
I think they're going to bite their tits. That's what I think they're going to do. I think they're going to bite their jugular. I think they're going to use their fucking teeth. I think if you got rid of a murderer's hands, they just murder them.
They still have the hands. Just not the fingers.
Palms.
Yes.
Again, can still use things.
Yes.
Palms is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Palms is definitely enough. Have you seen Bruce Lee?
Oh.
He's all palm.
I miss him.
Me too.
Whatever happened to him?
I think that he got sick. He was cursed. He was cursed because he gave away his ancient Chinese secrets. That's the truth. He gave away his ancient secrets, and he was cursed because of it, because he gave us, jiu-jitsu? Not jiu-jitsu. What was his thing?
Jeet Kune Do.
He made his own karate, and then when he did that, that was a problem.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Pioneers die with the footsteps of others on their back.
Before him, nunchucks were just a chain. And yeah. He put the two sticks on the end.
Yep. It was just, nunchucks was just what I did when I poisoned the convent.
Well, that's an update.
All right, here we go. I'm just going to go, because the Dubai update thing is just confirming that crypto scanner got cut up into a bunch of pieces.
Yeah, and they put them in concrete, and now they found the concrete, and I guess they broke apart the concrete. I would have loved it.
Just bury the concrete.
Well, they did, I think, and then they found the buried concrete.
I mean, after the fact.
Yeah.
Leaving the concrete.
I mean, I would have loved to hear about, like, obviously we would never hear about this, but like thousands of years down the road that someone finds the concrete that opens it up. It's like, huh, pieces of people.
Oh my God. Yeah, they'd be like, oh, in ancient times, they used to make people into a salad. Normally, when now this is how they knew this was an important person of the 2025s, is that he was, they were known, they always turned them into an ambrosia salad.
Oh, man. I didn't know he'd already been arrested for being a fraudster.
Good.
Yeah, and then he got out, and then he went to Dubai to do more fraud.
That's what happens.
He can't fuck around with these guys.
You get one chance. What did you teach me about drug dealing, Eddie? It's not about if you get caught. It's when you get caught.
Yes.
All these guys, same thing. If you get a chance to get out and you made your nut, you stay the fuck out. All right? You don't need that other score.
I really think I got caught at the exact right time.
You really did. And I honestly say thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. I thank you for what happened.
Yes, I know. But my friends, they had a rougher time.
Yes, so they had, well, yeah, they were treated horribly by the Florida police.
I love you guys.
I love you both.
Love you.
I'm sorry that it happened to you. You didn't deserve that. All right? No matter what you did.
Bleep his name. He's got a career and a child.
Go, yeah. Oh, go. You don't want to know? Right.
Keep it in, but bleep his name.
Well, at least he's not this guy. So this is a new story that I found. And again, there's just something about homemade Nazi uniform that makes me laugh.
Yes.
Right? So a man opened fire on Stamford police in Connecticut, of all the places. And he had an hours-long standoff.
I'm surprised there aren't more Nazis in Connecticut.
Why?
All the whites up there.
You'd be surprised. There's Connecticut's a lot more diverse than you think it is.
There's lots of poor whites up there.
But there's also a lot of people that aren't white.
I know that.
Shockingly.
I know that.
Shockingly. Actually, where there's more, to be honest, more of a president of this is in our humble Northern California.
Oh, Northern California is littered.
It's kind of made for it. Yeah. They love it over there.
Yeah, lots of trees that they could take and make crosses out of. And
so here we go. These fucker, right? So apparently they got called. The police got a search warrant in a home, right? Because I guess there was a complaint. The incident on December 2nd began when a state marshal, it came to this home in Oaklawn Avenue. Mm-hmm. They came to evict this guy.
Yes, right? That's what the problem was.
Of course, right? It makes sense. It's very, very upsetting. It's very, very upsetting. But I'm going to say this, guys. No matter how, whatever bad things happen to you financially, in the real estate world, there's no reason to go Nazi over it.
Yes.
You know?
I hate eviction, especially this time of year.
We
I
all
think it's
do.
The worst thing in the world that anyone could do. But as soon as a homemade Nazi uniform comes into play, suddenly I don't care.
So it starts to be like,
suddenly I don't give a shit.
Yeah, as a landlord, I'm like, oh, maybe you need to get the fuck out of there, right? And so the lady, the dude came out. So the cops came.
Jed Parkington.
Jed Parkington, definitely, that's the exactly what he did.
Yeah.
He parked in that house until they shot him in the head, until he shot himself in the head. Mm-hmm. And so, first of all, he sent his wife out like a real fucking coward. He sent his wife and dog out.
Actually, I thought it was nice.
Well, I don't know.
He could have, it was either that or he kills him.
He's lucky that they didn't light up on the fucking wife and all the kind of shit, because he had a barking dog. They let him out of the house. Parking, so they cops came, they see...
He knew he was going to have a standoff.
Oh, no.
And he's like, wife... Honestly, this is the little credit that I'm going to give this man. And he's like, wife, get out of the house. I'm going to shoot all these cops. You don't want to be around for this.
He's been wanting to do this since he was 18 years old.
He's been planning.
Yeah, so he came to the door. He was wearing a uniform shirt and a utility belt with items attached. He had explosive devices. It looks like he had grenades on him and a giant swastika. And he sent the wife out, right? Because then he said he pushed her out the door and they heard him saying, take her someplace safe. This is not going to end well.
This is not going to end well.
And so she pushed her out. Because I feel like even as
worst
a wife.
Worst thing to hear in a standoff.
But I would say, as your wife, right? I think Coco Chanel said this. The idea that when you leave the house every day, remove one accessory.
Yes.
Right? Because that's fashion, right? I think I'm a wife. If it was a good wife,
mm-hmm.
You know what you say to your husband? Do whatever you're going to do. Take that swastika off, okay? I'm not dealing with this.
She sewed it on.
I'm not. No. Oh no. He did. I know. This is Jed's plan,
mm-hmm.
And Jed got the Nazi insignia. He finally has been waiting on it. He purchased it on eBay a year ago.
What if it was embroidered?
He's
then
not.
It's in there too deep.
This man bought a Chinese-made swastika flag, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. This man's not doing this. This isn't a patriot.
Yeah.
You know, this guy's buying it from over there. Guy.
Impartial China.
Yeah, they love our little peccadillos, don't they? They love what we got going on over here. So he then barricaded himself inside. They thought he was armed. He was. They brought in a hostage negotiation team. And so what they first tried to do, which I do think it didn't work. They did put just a tater tot hot dish on the front stoop to get it come out. Right. Because you can't fucking refuse a tater tot hot dish.
No.
Right? And then.
You bastard.
But he said something about how tater tots are the Jews of the potatoes.
Whoa.
Which I did not know.
Yeah,
didn't think about it like that.
Well, if you take the top of a tater tot and you put it on top of a potato, it kind of looks like a yarmulke.
Interesting. That's a fat person thought. That's a fat person thought. And so he said no to that. I guess then they said stuff like, you know, okay, come out here. We all hate the Jews out here. Like, I don't know what they try to get him out. I don't know what how do you try to get this guy out? You go like, oh, great swastika, buddy.
Yeah.
Man, that swastika, if I had a swastika, that'd be the one I'd have too, buddy. Like, that's like, how do you get him out?
Yeah, this is just normal SWAT. Not swastika.
Just listen. I wish it was. I wish we could be. All right, but you know, everybody gets touchy about X's over here.
Man,
all right, buddy.
So he had his hostage. They called in the hostage negotiators, but he's his only hostage.
That's very normal. Guy's just holding a gun to his head in a house. The hostage negotiators just come out there and say, "No, don't."
I mean, honestly,
no, don't do it. I know it's a whole process.
I'm surprised they didn't light up the house.
Well, it's because they're trying not to, Eddie.
But he was lighting the car up.
He
shot up the cop car.
Honestly, Eddie, anytime when they do this and they actually manage to not shoot up the house, I'm pretty proud of them.
I am proud of them, but I'm just very surprised.
It's way more normalized
now. I feel like they were in their... Ugh, it's a hard thing to say. They were in their rights to shoot up the house.
They tried to breach the house several times using these devices. So the first thing they did was they sent in a swarm of drones because they're trying not to get anybody killed. They're trying to save the guy.
Yeah.
They are. Like, so the drones come in. He shot out all the drones, which is the funnest
honestly,
way to die.
It's first thing he said, first thing he's done that I'm like all about.
How fun is that? You got your fun little swastika on.
Yeah.
You finally use all your big guns. The cops are finally here. It's all happening. It's like when Natalie got to go to Epic Universe. It's like, it's all happening now. It's like, I get to do it. And so he's shooting at drones. That's the coolest thing an old man ever gets to do.
Future skeet shooting.
Yes. And then he did the same thing that all old fucking bastards love to do, too. And he put a gun in his mouth and blew his brains out.
And then they sent in another drone and saw it.
Yep. And then that drone's traumatized.
Yeah, that poor drone. Its whole family got killed by this guy. This is like the worst version of Batteries Not Included I've ever seen.
So, yeah, another Christmas miracle's wrapped up.
This is not going to end well.
I was right. That was like the last thing you said. I was right.
Fly from your grave.
You know, the one thing I'll say... He should have saved it to Christmas.
Yeah.
Because then I could have covered it.
Yeah.
You know?
What are you going to do?
I don't know, Eddie.
It's the season. It's the season to hold yourself hostage.
Absolutely. We just covered A Family Annihilator, which seems to be a running topic that we do around the Christmas season here.
We got a couple stories that seem like they line up pretty well.
We had an exact almost copy of our buddy Ronnie Gene Simmons that we just covered in Arkansas last week, where a guy killed his entire family. It's another family annihilation in Arkansas, about a mile from where Ronnie Gene Simmons lived.
Mm.
So that's interesting.
It has been interesting. So a mile.
Just now.
1 mile?
Literally just
that's
happened.
The same town.
I mean, I guess. It's just like there.
I walk miles. So just 1 mile is the same town.
You bragging?
Yeah, I'm bragging. I'm out here, I'm walking 2 to 3 miles. Woo, boy, you don't even know. Cutting up this turf. These hokas ain't fucking, they're dude, working, dude. They're earning their money.
Walking a full 45 minutes. Mm. I'm tired.
There was another drone story. I'm just going to talk about it briefly because there's so many connecting stories in a weird way this week. And there was a drone story where a guy was hiking by himself. A lot of people hiking in ways they shouldn't be hiking. Hiking on by himself on like a 20-hour hike, and he fell into quicksand, which is very rare.
We were told as kids that quicksand was going to be a thing.
Yes. And for this guy, it was. And he got stuck in the quicksand. He had his two little hiking poles, and he kept trying to push himself out, and then it wasn't working. And then his knee got bent back, and it was touching his foot, and he was stuck in the quicksand, and he was fucked. And then someone heard him screaming because he was in like a little gorge, and they sent in drones. They found him. They pulled him out.
That's why I use a treadmill.
Yes.
That's what I use. I go to a treadmill. I stay inside. I don't go out there. The idea of falling into quicksand and then ever going outside ever again. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine that? Like, that's such an anxiety-inducing idea for the rest of time then.
Yeah. I would hate, do you think he's ever going back to REI? Like, he's like,
these poles are defective.
Fuck these poles. These poles almost killed me. Like, yeah, him outside the REI just being like, they almost killed me. There were Paula Ankas on me.
Oh, yeah, that's it. He needs Sinatra's disembodied cock to pull him out
from the sky. I blame him.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's walking in a gorge and like,
I am watching this rescue procedure.
This is not where humans should be.
Those rescue procedures, that cost how many thousands of dollars that cost?
Oh, he's paying for it.
Do you think you
pay for these rescues.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. Remember when we were on top of the hill, a mountain in Hawaii, and I was like, I was scared, and he's like, it's $70,000 for a copter ride?
We're like, let's keep walking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, we'll tumble down.
Yeah. But yeah, there's two other crazy hiking things that happen.
Oh, my favorite one is this one because this is the, father, just angry.
This idiot
angry
man.
Angry father. This fucking Salt Lake City moron father. You know that he was a fucking evil Mormon too. A Utah father's facing child torture and abuse charges after he took his three small children on a long, strenuous hike during a winter storm in Big Cottonwood Canyon, and they had to be rescued.
You know, you think, nice, dad's out, taking the kids out for a walk. You know, they're going to have a good time. No, they're
we're going to the top of the mountain.
The kids were 2, 4, and 8.
Get the fuck up. Get up. Put that Roblox down. It's filled with pedophiles. We're going to the peak of the mountain. We're going to kiss God on the mouth.
Micah Smith, 31 years old, was
get the fuck up
by his wife to please do not do this.
Please don't. Please. Please. And he's like, this is a once in a lifetime thing. And she said she was scared. He told her, you shall not pass.
He like started quoting Gandalf to his 8-year-old.
She's like, as she was like, are we frozen?
There's literally, he was filming her asking if she was going to freeze to death. This guy is such a scumbag. And then he left all three. He left the 8-year-old in charge of the other two and fucking left.
Yeah, man, had to. He had to fucking go and I guess he had to secure help.
Well, yes, because
the
2-year-old died, and then he gave it CPR and it came back to life. And then the other kid, when the other kid was dying, he started giving that kid CPR. He had the 8-year-old push it on their fucking chest and shit.
And then he goes and he totally redeems himself.
Not in prison when he kills another pedophile. Yeah, that's the only thing you can do.
But think about how, like, even as a, you know, just as a dog father, right? You know, like I just have one, you got to give one medication, you get the other one, it's fighting for the food, right? It's like a whole thing. So I could see that, yeah, of course, when they're all dying, you got to put the 8-year-old to work, especially if she's still functioning. Like, that's easy to do. You go, bring one kid to life.
Yes.
Bring another kid to life. A little snowman. Honestly, this father crushed it in a way.
He brought the kids 6.5 miles, which is more than twice as far as I walk.
And you heard how tired Eddie is. It's like I eat.
3,000 feet elevation. The rocks are shifting, thorny bushes. This guy brought his children to die.
He brought them at night. They got caught in a downpour of snow, hail, and rain. Mm-hmm. When they did not return, they had to go look for them. He said Smith and his children took shelter at around 8 p.m. that evening under a large rock with an overhang. Smith said he gathered logs, sticks, and rocks to make a windscreen and put pine needles down and try to use his body to keep his children warm. And the whole time he's like, God fucking, your mother's going to be so fucking angry with me. Oh, man, I'm going to have to do extra time at the temple this week. Oh, wow, my secret underwear's frozen in my chest.
Yeah, man, this dude fucking, they gave him no bail. And the deputy said the defendant's intentional and selfish act left his children in grave danger, with one of them dying and being revived multiple times and will never fully recover.
Wow, he has been charged with domestic violence.
Uh-huh.
And then he was told to leave Primary Children's Hospital for trespassing.
Yes.
After he interfered with his 4-year-old son's, he was tampering with the equipment that was on his face.
That was a month before this incident happened. And
he's when a full happened, Mormon. He's a full fucking dumb Mormon.
He told the police, I'm going to hike to the top of a mountain. Mm-hmm. A month ago, he told them this.
Yeah, he was trying to kill themselves. Yeah. I think
his brother, though, is sticking by his side. He says Micah's a good dad who loves his kids and loves taking them on adventures.
Yeah, it's because he was trying to kill them all. I think he was trying to kill them all. I bet you this is another one.
This isn't
one of,
an adventure, by the way.
No, that's not an adventure.
No.
An adventure is going to an amusement park.
Yeah.
An adventure is we went fishing. Me and my dad went fishing and we went and got ice cream after we went fishing.
We didn't,
that's a wonderful time
together.
I didn't
take a 2- and a 4-year-old climbing 6.5 miles, 3,000 feet in the air.
And guess what, bro? They're just going to slow you down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this guy is like, you know what it is, though? Is again, this is another Salt Lake City story in which I am more than certain they're cutting the religious aspect of it, out of it. Because they always do that. They always kind of cut the fact that there's a large unspoken,
that they're praying to some mountain that Brigham Young was on top of or something.
Just this idea that he has some special communication with a Mormon offshoot god.
Well, good. You can go have that communication with Chad Daybell now.
Oh, they will. Oh, don't worry. They fucking will. They'll have a lot of notes to compare.
Well, there's also, check this out, on the other side of the world, there's a dude facing manslaughter charges after leaving his girlfriend at the top of Austria's highest peak. 36-year-old is now facing 3 years in prison.
So what is the what is the actual circumstances of this? Did they get caught? Did he just dump her?
They climbed 12,460 feet. She did not have the proper gear. He's an experienced climber. She is not. They get to the top. She's got like felt shoes on. You know, they're not like, it's like negative when we 20
went
on Celsius.
Our, when we went our hike and both of us were wearing sneakers and the guy's like, are you sure you want to wear those? And we're like, we weren't, we didn't
no
know.
No one told us anything. Yep. Yes. Yeah, yeah. But this was very different because they went together and he fucking, she gets cold. He doesn't know what to do with her. He then leaves her to go get help when she then freezes to death, of course, because it's negative 20 Celsius.
So he's just like, just chill out.
Yeah.
Literally. Just chill out. Stay right here. I'm going to be right back.
You know,
here you go. Here's your iPad.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, what is he doing here?
Yeah. Apparently he's very sorry about how things turned out.
What? Hey, that honestly, as y'all know, as y'all ladies know, having a guy apologize, who marry him.
Yeah, man. Oh, my God.
Oh, shit, girl. Yeah, he's doing the work.
Yeah.
He's putting into work. I'm sorry, being Quentin Tarantino right now. He's putting into work, girl.
Man, I love everyone running his ass through the fucking dirt this week.
What you talking about, son? What you talking about, son? Me, Quentin Tarantino, geez, son. I'm doing this is a direct reference to Quentin Tarantino very confidently speaking with Jamie Foxx and Samuel Jackson at a and the press coverage for Django Unchained, and yes. he's unchained,
jacked out of his mind,
and he loves talking like a black guy.
Yeah,
and I'm saying, but I do in some way, I do feel like he felt in that moment that he was black. He was wrong.
Yeah, he just made this movie about slavery.
Yeah, and he was amongst a very powerful group of black people. And he felt very much in, he was feeling himself.
Yes, he really was. He really
he
was.
He really, really was.
Man, I really, honestly, I'm at the point now where I don't even care if that 10th movie comes out.
Cook, honestly, so far, I am an unapologetic, full-on Quentin Tarantino fan. I yes. love every single
I mean,
one of
his movies are great.
I love every single one of his movies. I hate the man himself.
I never want to hang out with him. Isn't that weird?
I'll never meet him. I'll never want to meet him. But I've now learned that about celebrities.
Yeah.
I don't want to meet him anymore. I never want to meet him. I don't want to hear their thoughts. I don't want to be in their personal sphere. Just give me your stuff. Go away. Mm-hmm. Quentin Tarantino, that 10th movie, even the last one, he was thinking about making a movie about a movie critic. And I was like, you're so full of shit, buddy.
Yeah.
You need to go walk away.
That's what you're going to end all this on?
You need to touch grass. I think that's the term that he, I think that's the term. I think he needs to go out there and he needs to fucking go, he needs to go walk away from seeing himself on a camera.
Well, he's working on the sequel to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood because, you know, everybody wants to see that.
Well, it's a TV show.
Oh, my God.
And David Fincher's going to direct it.
Who cares?
It.
It's going to bomb. I think it's, honestly, I think it's going to fucking bomb. I think it's going to not be very good. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, so we got, what do we got here? We got this people who cut the baby out of somebody.
Well, this is a really brutal story.
And then we
story.
Got the other guy who cut up his wife. See, everything's like weirdly.
Again, it's Christmas season.
Yeah.
As we're heading into the holidays, you notice the stories do tend to get more grisly. It's hard out there right now.
Yeah.
This is a, I'm just going to go through the details of this story. I don't know everything. Natalie's fully ensconced in this.
Okay, good.
And
it's still very much developing.
Natalie and I both have our separate true crime stories going at all times, right? Mm-hmm. So like when I was-
We can't take this from her.
No, I don't want to. Oh. But also this is the, she was, I heard this from the other room and I was like, what the fuck? And she's just like, yeah, this is a grisly one. Because, like, I was all too into, guess who just filed for divorce?
Who?
Weeze the Weezer bassist's wife who got shot by the police.
She filed for divorce?
She filed for divorce.
Whoa.
What? She filed divorce on him.
He's not supporting me. I shot at the police and he's not supporting me.
The fact that
he
said
went and played
nothing,
Coachella.
Yeah, because he was paying for your court fucking money. That's what he did. You fucking crazy person. Jillian Lauren files for divorce. It's fine. It's fine. It's all good. I know that she wrote a really interesting book about Samuel Little and she's done quite a bit for, you know, awareness of, you know, all that kind of stuff. Really good investigator of true crime, but she is a wacky.
I mean, he's going to get out scot-free here.
No, you won't.
He's not going to owe her anything after
this. No fault state, my friend.
No fault state?
Oh, yeah.
Like, no fault, like, including shooting guns at cops?
It's got nothing to do with the divorce.
I would say it does.
We'll find out. We'll find out. I actually don't know. SideStoriesLPHDL@gmail.com. What are the type of aggravating circumstances during divorce can actually affect? Because
she's going to be in prison.
California's, no, she won't. No, she got let off. She with probation. She just went to go do a treatment program. She got no time. She shot at the police and got shot by the police. They essentially decided to call that even.
Attempted murder of a police officer?
She shot in the sky.
White lady did well. It's called a white lady power. All right, she's got a little bit of white lady juice.
So she used it. But these people did not use their white lady juice. Yeah, this is the story.
Those cops are lucky they weren't in the garage. Can we keep moving?
Oh, yes, here we go. You're right. Courtney Bartholomew, that is a really funny Weezer joke.
Thank you.
In the garage, I feel safe. Nothing happened to Morris. It's a great song. Yeah, she's sick. She hates that song.
In backyard, I should come.
Yeah, it's a good, save it. Gotta give it to Weird Al. So this person, like, both these people could have used a little bit of chill. Courtney Bartholomew, 40, and her 47-year-old husband, Bradley Bartholomew, decided to become evil personified, according to the Wexford County prosecutor, Johanna Carey, by murdering her daughter. So it was Courtney Bartholomew's daughter, and removing the baby from inside of her while she was still alive.
Mm-hmm. And then, did the baby live? It's not very clear. If the baby lived or not.
But no, the baby died.
The baby died. She was supposed to give birth just a couple days afterwards.
So were they just
and that's
excited?
Why they were looking for
her. Is that
her.
What you're trying to say, that she was they're excited?
I'm just stating facts. I'm not giving them any kind of... These people are monsters.
You don't think they had a straight motivation?
Yeah.
You don't think so?
I don't know. Other than like them just taking the baby and leaving her for dead, I don't know what the fuck the plan was.
All right, here we go. So here we go. Autopsy revealed the body was Parks, but the child was due to give birth to 3 days. The same day the body was discovered, authorities arrested Parks' fiance, Richard Valor, and Kimberly Parks. So everybody tried to kill her. So her mother and her stepfather, her fiance, good fucking Lord, and his sister. And I don't know why.
I mean, even if she's the worst person on earth,
no, I mean, there's no,
you don't do this. Even if she's little Hitler, you don't do this. You know, like, it's crazy.
Courtney had posted a video on her Facebook page in the same day as her daughter. This is all from People magazine, by the way. This is what they cover now. And it was due to give birth with a caption that read, "My alibi of where I was the night my daughter came up missing." Right, so that's what the mother posted. Mm-hmm. She then, in the video, which featured only black screen with audio, her 14-year-old son said, her brother. Mm-hmm. She gave me my meds at about 8:40. I don't remember a lot, as I just said, but she was there when I went to bed, and she was also there when I woke up the next day. I know that she never goes out and about when I'm sleeping, just because she doesn't like to drive at night. So she thought that she could pressure a 14-year-old into giving her an alibi.
Yes.
On Facebook, and it didn't work.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, but they're all now going to jail. Going to jail.
They're
going
to go to jail hard.
But you know what it is that, well, like, again, there's no discernible motive, but the reason why we try to pick it apart is because we do try to find some semblance of, like, what's going on there? What's a little bean brain thinking about? Right? What's that little kind of little nugget in there thinking about, right? Ping-ponging back and forth with your little ideas, you know? And it turns out, a lot of times, once you find them out, it doesn't help.
Yes.
Which is kind of sad, because we're just interested. But cops always say that, don't they? In every interrogation. They're always like, we're here to find out why. Because we want to know.
We want to help you.
We want to help you. And we're so genuinely curious about why. And why almost never seems to affect the court case.
No. Also, we don't hear about when they actually do help people.
Oh, no. Well, obviously, we know that police officers are have a hard job. They also a lot of times abuse their power.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
But we also know that cops do help, but that's their job, is to be helped. Their job is to help and not thank.
Yes.
That not be thanked. That's what their fucking job is.
Yeah, they get paid to do it.
They get paid. That is their fucking job. They serve the community. They're supposed to go out there. Unfortunately, it sucks for police, but it's also the truth. Their jobs are to get shot and to do things to protect us. And they're not supposed to have judgments about their own activity. They're supposed to go out there. That's what the thin blue line was supposed to mean. For all you cucks that fly that flag, I have no idea what the fuck that shit means.
There you go. Right. Yes. That's very well said.
Yes.
That's very well said. Yeah, so... fuck these people.
Yep.
All right. Like a piece of shit, this lady. Dude.
Well, yeah, obviously. She's not such a nice piece of shit. Yeah, she's not a nice lady, Grub.
I mean, there's nothing nice about it. It's a really, honestly, the most disgusting crime I've heard of in a very long time.
Congrats.
Yes.
You know, I'm still there with Josef Fritzl.
Yes.
I'm still there with my buddy Josef Fritzl hanging out, fighting for him, fighting for his standings in the most gross crimes of all time.
Rise from your grave.
Also, there's the story of the man who swallowed the Fabergé egg and then shed it out. This is another... I am angry again. I'm re-angered about this story. And the reason why I'm angry about this story is because then they still have the fucking nerve to charge full price for that Fabergé egg as it has come out of another person's asshole.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's definitely, it's still at $19,000 value.
That is, to me, because we discovered, remember it was the piece of jewelry. I believe mm-hmm. it was an Australian story. It was a piece of jewelry. A man ate this.
Interesting,
like,
that this is in New Zealand.
I believe this
It's just something that happens over there.
They got too many snakes. That's the problem. They got too many snakes.
They can swallow stuff.
Yes. So that was a New Zealand man.
New Zealand's full of birds, and that's why this guy swallowed an egg.
Yeah, me. He's like, oh, I'm a peregrine.
It was the Texas man who swallowed the earrings.
Yes, Texas man. I'm sorry. Texas and Australia are pretty close.
Yes. So anyway, but this guy, he swallowed the Fabergé egg. It's a tiny egg.
Yeah.
It's a real tiny egg.
But you're still going to charge me. You mean to fucking tell me, because they say the same thing. When they did 700 grand necklace that the guy shot out, they're all like, we cleaned it impeccably. Absolutely. Every cubic millimeter.
You can't drop the price at all. You're Dude, lucky you fucking got it back.
There's absolutely shit in that thing.
Look at that tiny thing. It's as big as a fingertip.
There is absolutely shit in the crevices of that Fabergé fucking egg.
19 grand for that little piece of shit?
I'll give you 1,200 for it.
Not even.
I'm even doing that just to not insult their fucking asses for your stupid ass egg. I don't even get Fabergé eggs. I don't even understand what they serve for and what they do. And what, I know it's a Russian thing.
It's the Octopussy egg. This one's limited edition, dude.
Oh, it's yeah, that's right, because they built it off of the movie Octopussy, so they wanted to, it looks like the egg
it's
from
a fake
Octopussy.
Egg. No, fuck the Octopussy. It's not real.
It really
Octopussy
is
a fake thing.
Yeah.
The whole thing's fake.
It has an 18-karat yellow gold octopus nestled inside when you open it.
That's fucking horse shit. What are we doing here?
Yeah, it's got white diamond suckers and black diamond eyes, the octopus.
I think that Fabergé eggs are a hate crime.
Yeah.
I think that anywhere there's Fabergé eggs, they should be melted down and that money should be given to the poor.
Absolutely.
Fabergé eggs are the single most useless thing I could possibly imagine. What
covered
is,
in diamonds.
It's what a is, necklace.
Fuck it.
You could rock it.
Like. I couldn't give a fucking shit.
Also,
I hate these eggs. I hate Fabergé eggs.
You know who deserves some credit here? The label makers. The label went through this guy's body and came out, and they were still able to read it. The price tag.
Oh, you're talking about the paper price tag.
The paper price tag.
Yeah, also.
I'm very impressed by the paper price tag.
I'm actually now realizing that's a fucking hilarious photo because it's just a man with his rubber gloved hand fingering it because it's just in a napkin. Now I'm realizing what this is. It's in a napkin with a rubber
gloved
hand.
That
is freshly.
That might be shit there.
That's definitely shit. Yeah.
That's his gross rubber fingered glove. Just one rubber finger pointing at the Fabergé egg. It's got fucking shit residue all around it. 19 grand? Suck my dick.
So also, they're not sure if the guy swallowed other stuff, so they're still like watching him shit every time.
He's still shitting in buckets.
And if I was him, I'd be like, who knows what I ordered next? I don't know. I might have swallowed several bracelets. We'll find out, won't we?
Just this fucking pervert just hanging out all day. Yes, look through that one. There might be a stud or two in that loaf. Ah, yes. Smell it. Why don't you?
That had to destroy his asshole, though, right? Like with the diamonds?
His whole intestinal tract.
Yeah.
It made it through, though. It shows the human body is a lot stronger than we think it is.
I mean, it's just gonna come out.
It's a tiny egg.
It's shaped like an egg.
Every time I think of a Fabergé egg, I always think of like a huge fucking thing.
Well, they do make big ones.
Yeah, but this one's only 3 inches tall.
Yeah, which also makes it even more of a waste of fucking time. All of this stuff is just so... I'm not into it. I'm not into the whole just like charging money for the sake of charging money because of the thing says it's a thing. It makes me angry.
Honestly, if you sell Fabergé eggs, you deserve this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the idea of you stressing,
I watched one of the most upsetting body cam videos I've ever seen, which was a man that was a security worker at a Spirit Halloween.
Okay.
Who had a gun for some reason, young man, tackles the shoplifter, then proceeds to dog walk him across the parking lot with the gun to the back of his head, and then shoots him point blank in the chest.
What?
Brutal video. The guy starts crying. Guy starts fucking crying.
The guy who shot him?
Yes. The security officer loses his mind, right? Because he's a child that should not have had a gun.
Yeah.
He should not have had
this gun. There shouldn't be a gun in a Spirit Halloween.
There's no fucking
reason. Nothing
matters.
And it's not a real business.
Like, that's what I think about is when people steal from these companies, it's like that guy, like the second he got out the door, he should have let him go.
Yes.
With the Fabergé eggs and shit. It's going to rip through this man's intestines. It's going to come out. But the idea of like sitting and watching this man shit in a bucket as the stuff slowly comes out of him is just this of like, that's where we get to as retail workers.
Yeah.
So retailers, like people that make just over minimum wage, have to go watch a man shit in a bucket until the precious items of their boss come sliding out of him. Fuck you.
Yeah, man.
I'd just be like, you send the guy from Fabergé. If you want somebody to watch, to deal with fucking loss.
Is Fabergé a business?
Yes, it's the label. It's like what it's called, I believe. I believe there are companies that maybe I'm wrong. I believe Fabergé is kind of like how champagne comes from a certain
champagne
district.
Valley. Yeah,
yes,
but
anything can be called champagne.
Mm-hmm.
It is a brand. Yes. So yes, there are specific Fabergé
from
eggs,
Russia.
And then there are things that are come from that look like eggs that are not necessarily Fabergé eggs.
Fuck these things.
Yeah,
they're worthless.
So this idea of anybody stealing anything and then you being on the hook for doing anything, because like that officer also turns out the security officer from the Spirit Halloween. His mother was the district attorney, and he's going to have to go to trial, but he got charged with that second degree manslaughter because he also poured pepper spray all over this guy's face and then shot him point blank in the chest.
Jesus Christ, man. It's been
for stealing Halloween mess.
It's been a fucked up year. Even the Spirit Halloweens are closing down and becoming Spirit Halloweens.
Eddie, save it for the clubs. There's also Spirit Christmases on the East Coast, which are like...
We have them here.
We do?
Yeah, we do have them here. I saw one as I was driving the other day.
They're kind of sad over there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A little sad.
Yeah, the Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it definitely feels like it's like big divorced energy.
Mm-hmm.
In there.
Yeah, you gotta get in there and get something. You gotta put up something to make your kids happy when they come by.
Yeah, because if not, all they see is pictures of your new girlfriend and you're like,
yeah,
your
love seat. Where are my gifts? So I bought a Fabergé egg for my new girlfriend.
Well, you know, Christine, it's our first Christmas together, so
yeah.
It was kind of a big deal for us. So
yeah.
And I've kind of had 15 Christmases with you.
So we're not gonna be around.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're going to go fuck.
I know this is a real important year for you, but we're out of here.
We're going to leave and go fuck, so try not to become a school shooter, okay?
We have one more story that I'm just going to touch on for 2 seconds just because it's wild. Distraught widow handed bag contained dead husband's belongings fell off a ferry. Very nice to do. His socks were in the bag, but apparently inside of the socks were the bottom of his feet.
And
the
she's
soles
like,
and his heels were
this
in
was, and she's like, oh my God, this is the fucking worst part of him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is the part I hate him the most.
She
this is so sad. This is the grossest part of my husband. Anything else I would have been so happy.
Yeah, so she got all his stuff back.
And just the bottoms like, of his feet?
Yeah, she was like, oh, this bag fucking smells. And she's like, oh, his socks. And then she put his hand in the socks and it was just like meat. It was just meat on the bottom of the socks. And then her father came.
Oh, did he
and,
put
like,
his like did he put insoles in here? Oh, it's just his souls.
It's just his actual souls, yes.
Wow, that's horrifying.
Yeah, he'd been on some new medication that kind of made him uneasy, and he'd fell overboard.
Did they make the bottoms of his feet loose?
Oh, he was like waterlogged.
Yes, because it took him a while to find him.
Oh,
yeah, yeah,
fucking
yeah, yeah.
Christ.
Because she didn't realize he'd fell off the back of the boat, and she didn't realize that he had been gone until it was been a while, so it took him a while to find
What's
him.
What's going on here?
What do you mean?
How are they falling off these boats?
Oh, he was like sick. He was on some medication that he was actually a really good swimmer, but he was like all fucked up on medication that made him like uneasy on his feet.
Isn't that ironic?
Yeah. And then he
Don't you think?
It is ironic. It's very ironic.
A little too ironic.
He was like a diver. And yeah. And then he fell off the boat and yeah, they found him.
Wow. That is. Well, they found some of them.
Yeah. Well, they found all of them and then gave back part of them.
And you know, that's the thing about Davy Jones's locker.
Yeah.
Is that sometimes she keeps what she wants and she gives back what you can take.
Yeah. She said that his feet were attached to the bottom of the socks, his soles and heels. What happened to Mark? No, did no one realize his feet were hanging off at the mortuary?
To be honest, this might be really shallow question. What brand of sock? Because actually sounds really durable.
No, these are good socks.
Did it say what the socks were?
Scotland socks. Scotland.
SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com.
I imagine it's wool. I'm going to guess wool.
I don't think wool's going to hold feet in it. So if anybody can tell me, what do you think is the warmest, most thoroughly cushiony Scottish brand sock that these feet could have been in that kept them so warm they didn't want to leave?
All I know is I love my Bombas.
Tell me about it.
This, for some reason, this sentence just makes me want to hurl, dude.
All right.
My 87-year-old father had to come around and tie up the bag of Mark's feet and take it outside before the funeral home could come to collect it.
Yes.
Oh, like it was slippers.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there is no dignity in death.
But, oh, yeah, it was his nickname, Slippers.
And this is how we have fun here, folks. We have to, if you know, when it comes down to, you know what Side Stories is all about? You know what it's really about? Whoop, whoop, woo.
Gone.
Whoop.
Remember that? We did it on the cruise. That's what happens to white women.
Whoop,
whoop. And gone.
And, you know, I just, what we discovered here at Side Stories a long time ago, if you ain't laughing, you're crying.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's the thing here. Yeah, we make light of it. But when it comes down to it, we're all going to fucking die. So on the pipe for all of us. And I just hope that when I go, the laughter is just as good. So every day, I live trying to make sure that my final moments will be as hilarious as possible.
They will.
I love to put myself in scenarios that I don't need to be in. Mm-hmm. What they say is for the plot. And then I know that you'll laugh when you read my obituary and you see, oh my God, podcaster dies stuck in log flume at Cheese Festival. That is the goal. All right. Oh, we got listener stories, but we just did a fucking full hour of just story. I got a listener letter.
We got to do at least one.
Here you go.
Do we have a sting?
Yeah, we got a new stinger.
Who's it from?
This one's from Zach from Dead Animal Assembly Plant.
Oh, I love their Christmas album.
Yes.
But yeah, here it is. Check it out.
Are you ready?
It's a listener mail experience.
Yes.
See, that's I like it. Very Rob Zombie.
He put you in it.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It's nice to hear my voice. But I will say, very Rob Zombie-esque.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Very cool. Very good work.
Dead Animal Collection Service.
Very good.
Listen to them whenever you can.
Assembly plan. Dead Animal Assembly plan.
He knows. We listen. Don't worry. We always listen. We know everything that's going on. One of the big things, update I wanted to give was, first of all, we maligned Tanners because Tanners are bad.
Yeah, I got a Tanner that reached out to me and said that we were right.
Yes, many Tanners did, but there is one Tanner that is good.
Okay.
And it did, someone pointed it out to me, and it's true, and it's Tanner from Love on the Spectrum. So because Tanner was a very sweet man on Love on the Spectrum, but I will say Tanner, unfortunately, voted for Trump. Family voted for Trump, and Tanner is literally a Trump stan.
Oh, so it doesn't matter.
Nope.
It's never funny. No.
He has no idea why. He just thinks Trump is funny. He thinks this is his grandma. So that is the reason why he's doing it. I don't blame Tanner, but they are definitely voting for him in that house.
You ever see Tanner 88?
No. I normally avoid autistic pornography. Right? He's not allowed to do pornography, I don't think.
Tanner 88?
I don't know if... Are severely handicapped people allowed to shoot pornography? SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they are.
I mean, I haven't seen it yet. We'll find out. We'll see if
I mean, you don't know if you've seen it or not.
No, I don't want to see it.
No, but you could have watched it. If so, no.
I'm talking about visibly.
I mean, everyone who's in porn is just like, oh, no, I'm coming. You know, how are you supposed to know, like, what's wrong with them?
Let's get on to the next letter. Now, this one is the death fetish enthusiast. I'm going to read this. I'm reading this, and I do think it's interesting. But, again, I will not apply any form of, how do I say this? I support your need to do death play. Okay. But I will say, if I found out my sister was doing it, I would be extremely fucking concerned. You know what I mean? It's like one of those where, like, when I meet a stranger and they explain to me about death play, I'm like, oh, fascinating. We'll talk all day. But if I met a I'd put Jackie in insane asylum.
Yeah, I'm not a kink shamer, but I am like a kink keep it to yourselfer.
Just advisor. It's just more just being like, you want to be careful with that. So here we go. So, longtime listener of the podcast and lover of last podcast. All right, great. I listened to Side Stories episode. The woman from the UK being murdered by that beard face in Ocala, Florida, and wanting to answer some of Henry's questions about negotiating a murder.
Okay.
First and foremost, I'm an absolute freak, play heavily with kinks that are regarded as edge play. Edge play kinks fall into a category of kink where they could result in serious harm to myself up to death. Auto-assassinophilia is the hilariously long and double-assed word for having a fetish for putting one's life at risk. I do a lot of play around breathing restriction, drowning, extreme beatings, and other ridiculous shit that I won't list for the sake of brevity. I am hyper-aware of the risk, and I make a lot of choices to mitigate harm. There's really only so much you can do. You're going to get hurt hanging from a wench just by your tits, that's for certain. In case of our Ocala friend and his UK visitor, the fact that there was no out for the person even when they were attempting to end the scene leaves the realm of BDSM and enters into just straight up criminal activity.
Yeah, that's what we talked about it.
Yes, I've had sessions where I've negotiated more than I can handle, and I've communicated that, and the sadist I'm playing with will always end the session. But are they real sadists then? Negotiating one's death is tricky business. I negotiate with scenes with the awareness that my death is a serious possibility. Funnily enough, I was enjoying a session with a friend where they repeatedly choked me unconscious yesterday, and I'm still here to tell the tale. Every time I went out, a bell dropped from my hand, and they immediately let off my neck. I'd come back to in seconds, and we were able to determine each step if I wanted to continue going or stop. It doesn't matter how fucked up the play or the risk profile, a consensual BDSM encounter requires a way out and check-ins. Even if that check-in is, yo, you still alive. And that is just the truth, which is, but obviously the man was murderer.
Yeah.
And she has to be murdered, and that is hard.
You know, when I was a stupid child, I used to, like, me and my buddy.
You did stupid child thing.
We used to choke each other out. And I remember we stopped after one of us passed out and we thought we'd kill the other one. We're like, oh, we should probably not do this
anymore. We shouldn't do this all the time.
Yeah, let's just start smoking weed instead of choking each other.
Nitrous, dude.
Yeah. We definitely started that as well.
So much easier.
Obviously, oddly safer, I think.
In a way.
Yeah.
But I'd be real careful out there.
Yes, absolutely. With nitrous for choking each other.
Just make sure, all right? Yeah. Because I get it. Some people like a little squeeze here and there.
Absolutely.
It frightens me.
Yeah, make sure you're holding your bells.
I'm a gentle lover.
Yeah.
I'm a gentle lover. I do little nibbles, little spanks.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm gentle.
Yeah, no chokes.
No chokes. I don't like choking someone. I get scared.
No. Plus, it's just mean, right?
I guess some people like it though, Eddie.
People do like it.
Some people, that's the idea, is they like it because it feels mean. It feels mean,
yeah,
but it's not mean.
I guess, God, I feel like I can't even say anything right now.
You're very vanilla, but I get it. It's fine.
Very vanilla.
I'm extremely vanilla too.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
They're like,
we're taking it back. It's newly revolutionary in the world of poly and all of these things. It's newly revolutionary to just have standard sex with your wife.
Yeah.
It's coming all the way back around.
All the way back around to just be.
We're back to being perverts.
Wow. Oh, we're just the weird ones.
Oh, yeah. Just straight up, how gross we are just having sex with our wives.
Yeah. Sometimes I just hold her. You know, sometimes I just hold her and we'll put on music and we dance.
Oh, I hate, ew.
You know, we'll do that. Disgusting. Sometimes, like, we'll slow dance, the two of us. Yeah. We have a nice time.
You don't make each other throw up?
No,
you
not
don't beat
on
her,
purpose.
You're not beating her anymore?
No, no.
For sexual purposes?
Absolutely not.
Well, hey.
Absolutely not.
Everything changes, yeah. Huh?
I got her Christmas stocking, and I'm trying to fill the whole thing.
Still crazy after all these years. Go check us at patreon.com/lastpodcastandleft to watch us do this.
You think I should put the bottom of my feet in her Christmas stocking?
Honestly, if you want to surprise her.
Well, let's see if I can get my dad.
Yeah, they're still solid. Oh. All right, we go in. I'll help you on the left for all your social Instagram needs. Keeping it good and dark for Christmas time. And you're going to go up to YouTube.
What if I wrap my dad's urn and put it under the tree and give it to my wife? Just be like, I didn't want it anymore. I thought that maybe you should have it.
Will you please save it for her birthday? I think that's actually the key. Save it for her birthday. So only she can get it. And go check out YouTube. Go check out our new show, LPN TV, Vampire the Masquerade. LPN RPG is the best shit we've made in a long time. It is going there. Just know that we're about to make a bunch of announcements for. I'll just go ahead and say it. We got a second season of Hoopa Goo.
Yeah.
Hoopa Goo Goo's coming out. We have. You might be hearing whispers of another show that you guys have been asking for. It's coming out back again in 2026. Ye old Tears of a Clown, in a way.
Oh, wow. We'll
figure that out. You know, go check it out.
You can't say in a way and then say the title of the show.
Yep.
It doesn't work like that.
It's so I can somehow get out of it if things go wrong. But who knows? And they're not going to go wrong.
I got the doggy.
And we got Champ in hand.
Champ's here. Champ wants to wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
It's not time yet.
And Champ wants everyone to come to Ed's stand-up show at Oxnard on January 4th. Right, Champ? Yeah, you do.
Yeah, he does.
You want everyone to come to Oxnard Levity Live to come see me and Carolina and Julia Johns and Holden and Jake. It's going to be a lot of fun. Please come because I promised them money. And I don't want to lose money on this show.
That's your first mistake.
It is my first mistake by booking my friends and
never
offering
do.
Them money. But yes, also, I'm going to be in San Francisco at the Punchline on February 18th, right before Henry and I head off to Alaska.
Yeah.
Where we got side story shows in Anchorage, almost sold out. So if you want to come to the Anchorage show, get your tickets now. And Fairbanks, there's plenty of tickets in Fairbanks.
Come out to Fairbanks.
Come out to Fairbanks.
Seriously.
We are going to be there. There's going to be no light. And we're going to hang out with you guys, and we're going to have a good time. And
wow.
I can't wait. And then I think that's about it's a Roni.
Yeah.
I wanted to say my friend had a very horrible thing. Here's a PSA. My friend's house burned down. Mm-hmm. And it was a very close friend of mine. I love them greatly, Chelsea Riggs. You know, here's something. It's more of a PSA for everyone. I didn't realize this is a thing. It was an electrical fire. And apparently, we're all supposed to have smoke detectors in our attics, and no one has smoke detectors in our attics.
Oh, if you have an attic. I don't have an attic.
Yes, you do. We all have attics. You got an attic. You got one up there somewhere. You got a crawl space with wiring.
So what happens if you don't have it?
Their attic caught on fire through the bad wiring, and they all almost died and their house burned down because they didn't even know there was a fire up there.
That's frightening.
Yeah, it's very terrifying. It's very scary. I can't. It's a definite. Put a smoke detector in your attic. Anyone who's got a home that you know, make it. It's an easy Christmas.
I'm glad
gift.
We saved this actually very real tip for the very end.
Yes, yes.
This extremely important tip for some people feels like, which I didn't even think about.
Yeah. No. So this could totally just happen to you. I'll buy your smoke detector, Henry. This is on me. This one's on me. I'll get one for Marcus. And
I'll make sure our houses don't
get burned down. So this Christmas, when everyone's Christmas trees are all fucked up and dried out and got lights on them, make sure you got all your smoke detectors running and going, because it's a really bad time for all this to happen. It's never a good time for your house to burn down, but at the same time, please.
Unless you got a body in there. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, if you're looking to annihilate your family. It's actually pretty great.
If you want to help out my friends, there's a GoFundMe. Just Google support Riggs family after house fire. And it happened in Tallahassee, Florida. You don't have to do anything to help them because we're going to help them out here. But
thank
if you feel like it, please. It's just so tragic. And you ever think about this, you always read about it. But then when it happens to someone you actually love, it gets a lot of crazy. It gets crazier.
Actually, after the fires, I had several friends that lost their either newly purchased homes, their life savings was gone.
Yeah.
It was... it's extremely brutal, and the United States of America is not the kindest country right now, and there's not a heck of a lot of safety nets for people. So
no.
We are unfortunately forced to take care of each other.
Yes. Yeah. So one day GoFundMe won't pay for all of our medical bills and one house day. Fires, but today that's what's going on.
Well, until GoFundMe becomes private healthcare.
Yes.
Which very well could happen.
Ah, yes, my GoFundMe PPO.
Ah, yes, yes, and then it's all you only get, and you only get it if you complete it. You only get it. That's what's going to happen. If not, they get it. They get it. They'll take the money.
Oh, well, I love all you guys. Take care of yourselves.
Try to take care of yourselves this very complicated season. Hail, sweet saint.
And hail Chelsea Riggs and her family.